joining me right now, a GolfChannel.com senior writer, co-host of the Golf Central podcast, Rex Number 7, good friend of the program. NBC Sports is providing comprehensive coverage of the 43rd Ryder Cup from Whistling Straits. It's this weekend across NBC, Golf Channel, and Peacock. Live coverage getting underway on Golf Channel beginning Friday at 8 a.m. Eastern. I'm not waiting for Friday. We're going to get him in right now. Rex Hoggard is my guest. Rex, what's going on? Good to have you.
I feel like this is what the Super Bowl must feel like to you and to guys who cover the Super Bowl, where the entire week just builds up, and at some point you just can't wait for it to start, and it just seems like it takes forever to get there because we're still 2 days away from the first tee shot, and it feels like we're right in the middle of it.
Nailed it. Exactly, Rex. You're exactly right. That's why I got to you on Wednesday, too. So it does get underway, though. You're going to have to suck it up, get through the next 48 hours or so. Gets underway on Friday at Whistling Straits. Like, how would you describe the vibe around the course? You touched on this, but what about the vibe around the course and around the sport in the build-up to Friday? You gave me kind of the media build-up. What about the entire sport overall?
Well, I think if you go back to last year, when the decision was made not to play the matches, because of the pandemic, because of the fact they weren't going to have any fans, I think everyone agreed, yes, it's the right thing to do, but I don't think we put it in the context of a year from now, we will be able to have all of those fans, 30, 40,000 people on property. I had a chance to walk down to the first tee on Monday, and they built what they always build now, this huge amphitheater. That first tee is becoming an event. And golf, unlike anything else really in golf, maybe I guess Scottsdale would be the comparison, but it's such a big moment, and it's such an iconic moment for the game, and to have those fans back, and we've had fans back, and this isn't entirely new, but somehow this week, just the vibe coming off of property and having so many people sort of just soaking it all in again, it feels like, yes, that was definitely the right decision to postpone.
Rex Hoggard is joining us. All right, Rex, what about the matchup? Europe has won 7 of the last 9 Ryder Cups and beat the U.S. by 7 points in Paris 3 years ago. So how does this year's teams match up against one another? Do you see any clear strengths or weaknesses or advantages?
I feel like you could sit here and make, and they are, the U.S. team are our paper Tigers again. I mean, if you look at world ranking-wise, if you look at accomplishment-wise, and what the players on the U.S. team have done recently, you would have to look at it and say they are clearly the favorites. And even Las Vegas has the U.S. team as a slight favorite. However, it always comes back to all those things you just mentioned. You would have to completely ignore history and the fact that Europe has won 9 out of the last 12 matches. And it goes back to Paris, where you pointed out the U.S. lost by 7 points. It really hasn't even been close outside of a few outliers, I would say. Davis Love, a couple of years ago in 2014, would be one, and then Paul Azinger, what he did in 2008. Those are the only two, really, victories the U.S. team could point to, and I don't know, even with the new faces on the U.S. team and with the captain that's clearly engaged and he has a game plan, I still can't see how the U.S. can get it done.
Rex Hoggard joining us. Really interesting, right? Like, before we even get to that part of it, Rex, I mean, the question comes up all the time, right? Before, during, and after every single Ryder Cup. But why is it that the European team not only wins, but has dominated this competition for so long? How do you personally answer that question?
I thought Padraig Harrington, and again, I'm going to steal his words here because he does a much better job than I ever could. He was asked this exact question, and he immediately went back to Seve Ballesteros and what he did in the late 70s and early 80s. And Seve realized that to give the European Tour and the European golfers some sort of legitimacy on the global stage, the way to do that, the quickest way to do that, is to make the Ryder Cup competitive. And so they included all of Europe, and suddenly it became this very, very competitive event. And if you kind of look at what they've done since then, and we're talking decades now, 3-4 decades, they have created the perfect system that gives the players the freedom. They go out and perform just like they would at a normal event where they're not worried about losing. They're only focused on just playing my best golf. And they've also created sort of this infrastructure that the U.S. is trying to copy, but it feels like the American side is still way behind.
We're talking to Rex Hoggard. All right, Rex, you mentioned how engaged the American captain, in this case, Steve Stricker, is. What's your sense as to his approach and what he's doing when it comes to assembling the team and how he wants to actually run that team during the event?
Overprepared. That's all he's preached, really, over the last 3 years, if you think how long he's been a captain because of the pandemic, and that's what you've seen from the players. I mean, I don't know that many American captains could have talked. The majority, only one player skipped last week's scouting trip to Whistling Straits. He got 11 of America's top players to take time off during what would have been a rare off week for them to fly up to Wisconsin and play 2 days of practice rounds and team bonding and everything else. And I think that's all because of Steve Stricker. There is such a level of confidence in him, and there is such a level of he is our leader and we're going to follow him in lockstep. I probably not coming across sounding as if the Americans have much of a chance, but if they do, I say it's all because of Steve Stricker and the atmosphere he's creating around this team.
Rex Harder doing what he does. He's getting us ready for the Ryder Cup. Rex, so what do you make of his picks, especially when it relates to birdies?
I think he got exactly who he wanted. And six picks is tough. You talk to any captain, they'll tell you they don't want any picks. It's probably the hardest part of the job, if we're being honest. But Steve embraced it, and he knew what he was going to do with this golf course. He's setting this golf course up to be a track meet. There's going to be a lot of birdies. He wants cheers. He wants to take advantage of what he views as the American advantage, and that's aggressive play, long drives, good iron play, good putting, all of those things. He wants to see very, very low scores, and I think that's what he's going to end up getting. That's certainly what he got when you look at his captain's picks. Maybe the only one that you would look sideways at is Scottie Scheffler, and he's really quick to point out that Scottie Scheffler was seventh on tour last season in birdie average, so he got exactly who he wanted.
I mean, Rex, youth, right? He picked four rookies, which when combined with Colin Morikawa and Patrick Cantlay means that half the U.S. team will be rookies, and the average age of the Americans is more than 5 years younger than the Europeans. In your mind, how significant is that?
I think it could be significant. The fact it's a home game certainly helps, and I think that gave Stricker a little bit of leeway, not only a home game, but let's face it, it's going to be a wildly partisan crowd. Normally you get a handful of Europeans that at least come and try to make a show of it. We won't have that this time around because of travel restrictions, so that helps out Stricker and those younger players, and it's relative when you start talking about rookies. I don't know that anyone is going to look at what Xander Schauffele or Patrick Cantlay have done and said, yes, they're clearly rookies. But the one stat, and you just put out some really good ones, the one that stood out to me is the entire U.S. team has a combined 12 starts in these matches. Lee Westwood alone is making his 11th start in these matches. So you get an idea of how much Patrick Harrington on the European side leaned into that veteran experience, and he wants to make sure he rides those horses the way they've always done the last few decades, whereas it seems like Stricker really wants to turn a new page, and it could work out.
We'll talk to Rex Harder for a few more moments. I'm trying to get as much information as I possibly can before the event. Hey, Rex, you've got a piece up on golfchannel.com about the role that COVID is playing, especially as it relates to the second envelope for Sunday. For those who don't know, what is the envelope about, and then what is the second envelope all about?
Yeah, the envelope at the Ryder Cup and the President's Cup is always kind of weird. So what this boils down to is if a player gets sick or injured on Sunday when all 12 players are playing, this obviously would not impact Friday and Saturday's play because you have always have four players sitting out so you could sub a guy in. So only on Sunday, if someone on one of these teams gets sick or can't play for whatever reason, the person in the envelope is pulled out of the match, and that match is considered tied, and they just have the point essentially. Because of COVID and because of the chance that you could end up with not just one but multiple players catching COVID because they're on a team, they're close together, there's actually three names in each envelope. And you could end up with a scenario where you could have three players who wouldn't be able to play, and so the other team would have to sit three of their players who were in the envelope. They would have both of those points. Where it could possibly get interesting or unfortunate is if you had more than three players, and they still haven't made a decision on exactly where they would need to draw the line in case there was an outbreak. Now, I'm very confident that's not going to happen. They have created a very tight bubble around both teams this week, and I'm pretty sure they know what they're doing after a year and a half of playing through a pandemic, but it's certainly something they've thought about.
You bet. Rex Harder joining us. Rex, before you go, I've got to get your thoughts on the topic of Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau. What's your sense as to the state of their relationship right now and how they're going to function together as teammates?
It's the most backhanded of all things you could possibly say when Brooks said, I can put up with anybody for 1 week, right? I mean, I can't imagine anything that's more backhanded than that. They're like, sure, put me in the room with him. I'm fine with him. And they've tried to make a show of it this week. You saw them talking on the range yesterday. Bryson was asked about the relationship. He pointed out they've had a couple dinners since the whole team has kind of gotten together. They'll be fine this week. I think the people who are saying that they should just pair them together is ridiculous because there's no way they would play well as a team. So essentially, you're just ceding a point to Europe. They'll get through this week. What's interesting to me, and Bryson kind of hinted to this, there could be some sort of event that includes these two. I'm thinking along the lines of maybe some sort of match like we've seen in the past. That would really be must-see, and I'm curious to see how that transpires in the next few weeks.
I mean, obviously, Rex, to your point, they're not going to put them together, but who do you expect to see playing with Bryson this week?
That's an interesting one because I don't know if there's a natural fit. I think Stricker has an advantage that he has two very good natural pairings, talking about Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, and then Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele. If you go down the list, I think you start looking at a guy like a Daniel Berger or Scottie Scheffler, someone who really doesn't have a natural fit right now, and someone you could maybe just convince, okay, you guys could make a very, very good four-ball team, because I can't imagine he would ever send him out an alternate shot for some. That's way too demanding.
So, Rex, one more point. You've made the point that the Ryder Cup might actually be a turning point for Bryson. Lay that out. What do you mean by that, and how do you expect him to show up this week?
I think it's been such a difficult few months for him. I mean, if you look at everything that's been going on between he and Brooks and the man spat that's been going on, and he's made some comments about not being vaccinated that certainly ended up on the wrong side of some public opinion. He criticized his own manufacturer about his driver at the Open Championship. It's all of these things have sort of piled on top of him so far this year, and he really needs a reset, and there's not a better place to come up with a reset than here. Now, the danger is the opposite. He played terrible in Paris 3 years ago, didn't win the U.S. a point. If he does that again this week, that's only going to compound his problems. But there is the opportunity that nothing changes the narrative quicker than good play. And this week, everyone's going to be watching, and a good week this week would change that narrative.
Well said. So finally, I know you're skeptical about the U.S.'s chances, but lay this out. What is the key for the United States to win the Cup back? How does it have to play out for them to win?
I just had this conversation with Paul McGinley, of course, the famous European captain. He works for Sky Sports now, and I kind of asked him the same question, and he said, foursome. I just said how difficult alternate shot is. If you look at the Americans' records in foursome play in this event, it is abysmal. They simply cannot win those matches. And I don't think it's a secret or by accident that Steve Stricker starts on Friday morning with foursomes. I think he knows as well as anyone that his team has to get off to a good start. They don't have to win the session. They just can't go down 4-0 early because there's no coming back from that.
He is a GolfChannel.com senior writer. And again, NBC Sports is all over it. They've got comprehensive coverage of the 43rd Ryder Cup from West Wing Straits this weekend across NBC Golf Channel and Peacock. Live coverage getting it away on Golf Channel Friday at 8 a.m. Eastern. Rex, have a great week. You're almost there. Great to have you back, Rex. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks.
Rex Hoggard. You know, the funny thing, well, lots of funny things, aside from Rex being Rex number 7 and Rex being a good friend of the program and Rex always showing up before every major event in golf. So at the top of the hour, our makeup artist, Cindy, masks up. She comes in studio. She gives me a retouch. And she says to me, I am so excited that Rex is coming back on. I said, Cindy, not that Rex. This is Rex Hoggard of the Golf Channel.
Is this the beef jerky
Cindy
segment?
Is all about that Rex. Cindy thinks that Rex is funny. Cindy loves it when that Rex calls.